Would turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. No, I'm still not used to these bifocals. I'm starting to feel like my head's hurting, so.
I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. 1 John chapter 4, I want to begin reading in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. I'm going to stop right there. Now, I was going to do something completely different than this. And as I started on something completely different, I was doing like a little bit of a preamble, and this is what come up, and then the preamble got really long. So, it's just one of them things, and you kind of run with it when you got it. But I want to start this sermon off by stating two words. Everybody knows. Whatever. Now, I hope I don't have to warn you, but I'm going to warn you anyway. Anytime anyone tells you that everybody knows whatever it is, everybody knows this, everybody knows that, you need to hold that statement as suspect.
Yeah.
Right then, right there. And it doesn't matter who says it. Because there are very few things in this world that everybody really knows. But those are two favorite words to start off a con game. Those are the two favorite words to start off a lie. And those are the two favorite words to lay a false foundation for false statements to come after it. And they're coming your way. That's just a free warning, so maybe you can end up being as big a cynic as I am. Sometimes what they say, everybody knows, is true. Sometimes what they say, everybody knows, might be true and a lie at the same time. For instance, everybody knows that God is love. Just so right here. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And God is love. John writes this twice in this chapter. He wrote it twice in this chapter, in this book, because it is important. There is no doubt that God is love. Because he wrote it again in verse 16. And we have known and believed that the love of God, the love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Yeah.
However, when people preface that statement saying everybody knows God is love, They have a tendency to leave this verse out, which is actually in between both of these references. They leave out the definition of love that John wrote in here. They leave this out because they don't like it. And they leave it out because this definition of love written by John is almost universally despised. Everybody hates it. No, that's not true. But a lot of people hate it. Now this verse is verse 10. John writes, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." John's definition here starts off with "herein is love." You want to know about love? Right here. Take a look. It's right here. It is herein. Then he starts his definition. "Not that we love God." Now, a normal definition, if you look in a dictionary, the first thing you see is the most common meaning of the word. That's the way it is in Strong's Concordance. It'll give you 1A, 1B, 1C. Webster's Dictionary will give you the primary meaning, secondary meanings, use as a verb, use as an adverb, whatever. John starts off his definition of love with a negative. Now this is actually seems good to me, because I understand a little bit, and I think you guys do too, of what John knew. John knew Christ Jesus. Because John knew Christ Jesus, John knew a little bit about himself. And because John knew a little bit about himself, John knew a little bit about all men. And because John knew man, John knew there were both parts in man. Well, in some men. There's the flesh and the spirit, as far as believers are concerned. Non-believers, there's just the flesh. But that's not who he's writing to. But because John knew both parts in man, John knew which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. And because John knew that the flesh is still there, John knew that in man, that is in the flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Amen. And the will is present, but how to perform it, sometimes I don't find. So John starts out this definition with this negative. "Not that we loved God." I know that God comes before all things. Now, I can clarify, I know that now. I didn't used to. God comes before all things. But just so we, as believers, know for sure about love, John starts off with this: "Herein is love." And it's not you. And it's not you. And it's not me. This is the beginning of love. Not me. You want to know about love? Well, it's not me. And it's not you. Or any human being. This is love. Not any man, woman, or child upon this earth or ever lived on this earth except one had love in him. Naturally. We didn't love God. No one loved God of his or her own self except for Jesus Christ. And that includes the Old Testament saints as well as the New Testament saints. "Not that we loved God, John cuts man out of the equation at the beginning when he's talking about love. Because it says twice here in this chapter, God is love. It doesn't say man is love. God is love. Now, these are some bold words, and I like them. Because the natural man knows absolutely nothing about true love. Any definition about any aspect of the character of God, whatever it is, or the work of Jesus Christ, you can start it off with those two statements. Two words. Not man. It's not of me. None of it. It's not of you. None of it. No matter what it is when it pertains to God. Because man is a negative. Man as he is born has no life. He doesn't know love. He hates the light and he loves the darkness. And that's why John starts off this definition of love with a negative statement about man. Now the second part of this definition is a lot better. It's better news. It's no truer than the last part. But it's better news. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. There it is. You see it? God loves everyone. Everybody knows that too. Now, John doesn't write that God loves everyone. He said God loves us. Now, I don't really want to be too negative myself. I want to be positive. However, I have found through experience that I am actually better at being negative than I am at being positive. Now, I try to keep it amusing and I try to keep it a little lighter. Because I don't want to get up here and go off on a tirade or a rant or anything. I'm going to try not to. But because I want to be upbeat. I want to be hopeful. Because I have a hope in Christ. And I want to relate that hope that I have in Christ to you. But when I look at the world, man, it's tough not to be negative. And to be perfectly honest, some people make it really, really easy for me to poke fun at. I mean, I'm serious. It's not hard to do. At least with my perspective, which I admit might be a little skewed sometimes. But my hope is Christ, and I want to be positive about Him. Well, like I said, I'm sometimes a little better at being negative about other people. But that's why I do understand why John starts this off here in his love, not us. It's not that we love God, because we didn't love God. And then he moves to the positive. God loved us. And that is what this says. God loved us. Now, the negative part of that is, it didn't say God loves everybody. This statement by John, this definition of love, is not about us loving God because we didn't. It's that God loved us. That's settled. Because God is love. So who's us? I'm glad you asked that question. Because the world won't ask that question. The world will not ask that question because everybody knows. God loves everybody. They think it's a rhetorical question, Mac. It's not. The world doesn't want this question answered. The world doesn't even want this question asked. Who is this us? Because they want it to be everybody. Now, I looked in this letter, which John wrote, is addressed to those who have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the us written up here. In this chapter, 4, John 4, 1 John 4, it starts off with a warning. Beloved. That's us. That's who us is. That's who John is a part of. The beloved. That is the us. It's addressed to beloved. And it says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because there are many liars gone out into the world. I'm sorry, it says false prophets. Same thing. There are many liars in this world. There are many false prophets gone out into the world, and some of them, way too many of them, will come right into your living room if you turn on the television or if you turn on your radio. They'll come into your car. Then he goes on, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not is not. You know, Walter, I can't read that scripture without thinking of him. There was a fellow that used to be on the radio. I don't know where he is now. And he was a bit strange. He had some good points and some bad points. He was really high on the Bible. But he got into it a lot further than I ever have. And I don't know that some of the stuff he got out of it. Being that far into it, he really didn't seem to think much of the sovereignty of God. So that kind of leads me to suspect his credentials as a theologian kind of thing. But anyhow, he relayed this story himself. He was preaching at a church, and somebody hollered out from the audience, or asked from the audience, said, do you believe Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And he didn't answer. And he said, do you believe Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And he told him, basically, I'll go on, you bother me, boy. And Walter and I, we talked about this. Why didn't you just say yes? But he didn't. And I just find that awfully weird. Do you confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Now, what that means is what it says. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? Who's Jesus Christ? And Walter, I know what that question means. I don't know exactly how to answer it, but I do know what that, I don't understand the question. That was the answer of some fellow being ordained. Who is Jesus Christ? He said, I don't understand the question. You got that right. There's a problem somewhere. Anyhow, to confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, that means that you confess, you believe, you acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He performed the work the Father gave him to do. He took upon himself the sins and transgressions of his people. He paid their penalty. He bore their iniquity. He shed his precious blood. He died. He rose again, offered his blood to the Father, and he obtained eternal redemption for us. That's a secret, you know, because everybody don't know that. He ascended and is seated at the right hand of God. He is making intercession for his people. His enemies are being put under his feet. And he's coming again in majesty and in power as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's just a little bit of what it means to confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Because Jesus is the Christ. See, if you know that Jesus, you don't have to know everything, but if you know that Jesus, the one who is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, you're part of the us. It also states if you believe him, you've overcome the world. You know why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's good news.
Yeah.
If you believe him, you have overcome the world. The ones that everybody knows, everybody that knows, that's the world. And they don't know him. And since they don't know him, they speak of the world. And I'm going to tell you something, that's all they will ever know unless the Son quickens them. Now you cannot speak of something you don't know of. And I know some people who can't speak of stuff they do know of, but that's a whole other subject. But really, if you don't know something, or if, better yet, if you don't know someone, you can't speak of it. And sometimes I feel sorry for people. For some people. Because in talking to them, speaking with them, and conversing back and forth, not on Facebook. I don't care. There's nothing wrong with that. You find out just how ignorant some people are of Christ, of God, and of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And of this book, this Bible.
Yeah, of the book.
They are so ignorant of it because they have never heard anything like this. The gospel of the sovereign grace of Jesus Christ and his work saving his people from his sins. He did it. It's accomplished. Redemption has been obtained. Is a foreign thought to so many people nowadays. It is. It's sad. And some people I do feel sorry for. Because it is actually ignorance. They do not know. They have never heard. And they have heard so much else. That you hear that stuff, and I'll tell you something, it will affect you. If you hear it for years, it will affect you. And it'll affect you even afterwards, if God does do something for you. Because it's ingrained, and that which is of the flesh is of the flesh. And the flesh is still there. And sometimes their ignorance is pitiable. For some people, though, not so much. Because there are some they're spoken of that are willingly ignorant. That's a whole other matter. There are those who do not want to know the truth because it clashes dreadfully with their worldview. My God wouldn't do that. Well, that's true. Yours wouldn't, but the one in the Bible did. See, I told you it's easy to be negative. Well, I don't believe that, Jesus. I know, that's why we're talking. It's the point. They don't want to know. It's not that they've never heard it. It's not that they have. I mean, because some of them have. They don't want it. They don't want it. They didn't want it then. They don't want it now. And I do feel a little bit for those people, because I used to be in that place. I didn't care about God. None of it. But when you're actively against it, you know, I don't feel so sorry for you. I'm sorry. I don't. Because what's important to them is who they think God is. Not who God really is. Now, whichever of these people are, it doesn't really matter, because they are not part of the us that John is writing to. Verse 6, chapter 4. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We is the us in verse 10. We are of God. Now, this is not a boast on our part, because we got here not because we love God, because God loved us. There is no boasting for me. There is no boasting for you. If you're here, it's because of grace. And it's because of grace. It's not because of works, because there are no works in grace. It's of God. Excuse me. Those that are of God speak the truth of God as best they can. But they also hear the truth of God. Those that the Father and Son quicken, make alive, hear His words. Those that are not alive unto God will not hear. It's not that they're deaf. It's not that their ears don't work. They got ears that work, but they'll tell you, and I've heard this, I don't want to hear that. That's exactly it. And I hate to tell you how many times I have heard that. I heard somebody told me one time, and I don't know if it was a Freudian slip or whatever they call it, I don't want to know that. That's right, you don't. When they say, I don't want to hear that, that's the answer now. That's right, you don't. But you have heard it, and I can't take it back. I'm sorry. Christ told some this, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. They will not. He that is not of God heareth not us. Another negative. They will not have it. More importantly, they will not have Him. You can't give it to them. You can't give Him to them. And I'll tell you something, whatever you do give to them, they'll spit it back out. There's a whole parable about casting pearls before swine. Now, sometimes you don't know who's swine, who's not, until you get trampled a little bit, unfortunately. But they'll spit it back out. They try to spit it right in your face. They will not have it, and they will not hear it. They will not have him, and they will not hear him. We are of God, and they are not. Now, I'm not trying to create a division here. There's already one there.
Amen.
You know, I'm not saying it's us against them. No, we don't have it. We don't have it. I'm not in this fight. The battle is the Lord's. Now, I'm going to try and put on the whole armor of God to, so that I might withstand something. But I'm not fighting with anybody over Christ. I believe him. And I'm not fighting to make somebody else believe him if it kills them. The battle's his. Matter of fact, the war's over. As far as I'm concerned, I won. I didn't even show up. I wasn't there 2,000 years ago. That's when he bruised somebody's head. These words are John's, not mine. I just read them. And by God's grace, I'll hear these words. There's a statement somewhere else. And I thought of. So he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Had they been a God, they would have heard. And I'm going to tell you something. They would have no doubt continued with us. But that it might be made manifest. Just made known, that's all.
Yeah.
It was already there. When a church splits over the gospel, there was already a problem there.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? All it's doing is making manifest that, hey, we had a problem all along. We just didn't know it because we're dumb. And we are dumb. And it's tricky because they use the same words, but they don't use the same dictionary. But they would have no doubt continued with us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The world only knows the spirit of error. We get to know them both. So God loved us. Those that are believers now know this now. Those who are elect and not believers will know this because he's promised that they will know it. He sent his well-beloved Son in whom the Father was well-pleased. Oh yeah, what was the rest of that? Hear ye him.
Yeah.
They didn't hear him when he was here. And most of us, most of the world, will not hear him now. God said, hear him. They won't. We will. We will, and they won't. The Father sent his Son, the propitiation for our sins. Now, I looked. Earl was right. Propitiation, it's a slightly different word, but it's the same base root word, mercy seat.
Yeah.
That's it. The place where the blood was sprinkled to keep the wrath of God off of us. The Day of Atonement. Jesus Christ is our propitiation for our sins. The same one God loved us, it's our sins that he's a propitiation for. Everybody knows God. Christ died for everybody. Everybody knows except for the people who wrote the Bible.
Yeah.
and some people who read the Bible. Propitiation comes from shed blood. His shed blood. Intercession comes from His shed blood. Forgiveness comes from His shed blood. Life comes from His shed blood. Faith comes from His shed blood. Light comes from His shed blood. Knowledge comes from His shed blood. And His blood was not shed for all men.
That's right. Amen.
He is Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation for our sins. And this hour is the same as that us. We have met us, and it's us. And Christ has met us, and we are His. Christ Jesus does everything for His chosen people. That's who His work was for. And it ends with this: His people ought to love each other. He loved us while we were yet enemies. He died for us while we were yet enemies. He died for us when we were without strength. He redeemed us while we were without strength. Salvation is of the Lord. Pure and simple, but wonderfully complex at the same time. Salvation is of the Lord. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And because of that, by His stripes, we are healed. All of His people. All of the time. You're not going to tell me that anybody God loved went to hell. You will not find that anywhere in this book. I don't care who you are.
Amen.
Go look for it. You're not going to find anybody in here saying that Christ died for them, that they went to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Not one.
Right.
And if that sets a division, okay. Life's tough, then you die.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're in Christ. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I do. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this place and this time. Thank You for Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins, who obtained eternal redemption for us. Thank You. Please call out the rest of Your children in this world, wherever they are, and come again. We're looking forward to that day and hasting the day that Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whom name we ask, Amen.